Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, September 15th. Happy Missions Monday! Because we had communion yesterday, we didn't have a formal mission project, but it made me think about a marking I have in my Bible in 1 Corinthians where there is a discussion of the Lord's Supper. And it says, the table speaks of not only the Lord's death, but our death. We die to ourselves. Lord, help us to see you more fully, love you more deeply, and follow you more closely. And ultimately, Lord, help us to have visions of the gospel, that you are faithful even when we are faithless. And it's not Jesus plus our good works. It's Jesus plus nothing. That's the gospel. We just look to him as Savior and Lord. That's a mission to get excited about if you're like me. All right, let's move on into Isaiah's prophecy today. I kind of got in the weeds a little bit because I couldn't figure out what is going on here. Well, remember, Isaiah prophesies during the lifetime of like four or five kings. And we're in the final king's reign, Hezekiah, in chapter 22. And in this chapter, we're talking about some of the stewards of the king's household. So someone who had a lot of power. They were not the king themselves, but they had a lot of power in the king's household. And today one of them is going to be brought low because he's all about himself and raising up his own little kingdom. And then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, is going to be raised up as the steward. And Eliakim is lauded because he has God-given authority. The Lord places the authority on him, and he is a faithful administrator. Okay, let's see if we can work through this and understand it. Isaiah chapter 22, starting in verse 15. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, come, go to this steward, to Shebna, who is over the household, and say to him, what have you to do here, and whom have you here, that you have cut out a tomb for yourself? You who cut out a tomb on the height and carve a dwelling for yourself in the rock. Behold, the Lord will hurl you away violently, O you strong man. He will seize firm hold on you and whirl you around and around and throw you like a ball into a wide land. There you shall die, and there shall be your glorious chariots, you shame of your master's house. I will thrust you from your office, and you will be pulled down from your station. Y'all got that so far? So he's more about himself, his chariots. He's building himself a place in the rock. He's put his tomb there, assuming that he's going to be working for the king for the rest of his life. And yet, God is the one who decides. All right, verse 20. In that day, I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your robe and will bind your sash on him and will commit your authority to his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And I will place on his shoulders the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him like a peg in a secure place, and he will become a throne of honor to his father's house. And they will hang on him the whole honor of his father's house, the offspring and issue, every small vessel from the cups to all the flagons. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, the peg that was fastened in a secure place will give way, and it will be cut down and fall. And the load that was on it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken. Okay, so here Shebna represents this self-reliant leadership, and Eliakim is faithfully serving, and he's thinking about the needs of the household. He's called a father here, and he's representative of a good kingdom. But eventually, even Eliakim will be brought down low. Even though he's firmly a peg in a wall, one day he will be brought down. And this is just a symbol of the fact that no human leader ever is the final hope. We're pointing forward to someone else, to God, who comes to be man. He is our only hope. We can't trust in princes and officials, but only in the Lord who will provide that lasting security. Okay, let us turn over now to the book of Acts. We're going to be reading chapter 8, verses 9 through 25 today. This is the story of Simon the magician who believes. And I actually read this last week accidentally, so we're going to read it again today. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. If you were listening last week when I read this, did something else stick out to you today? For me, it was a phrase in verse 21, "Your heart is not right before God." And I want to turn that into a prayer. Lord, give us hearts that are right before you. And when we end today, we're going to do a little bit of reflecting on what that might mean to have a heart that is right before the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 65, and I'll be reading verses 3 and 4. "When we were overwhelmed by sin, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I want to end with an excerpt from the Diary of Private Prayer today as we think about wanting a heart that is right before God and taking courage in the Psalms that when we're overwhelmed by sin, that the Lord will forgive us of our transgressions. Will you pray with me? O Lord, you are the Lord of the night, as you are of the day, and all the stars are obedient to your will. Today, I submit my will to yours. O God, set me free from the stirrings of self-will within my heart, from cowardly avoidance of the things I need to do, from rebellious reluctance to face necessary suffering, from discontentment with my place in life, from jealousy of those whose place in life is easier, from being dissatisfied with my talents, yet hungry for more, from the pride which sets human knowledge above your wisdom, from undisciplined thought, from being unwilling to learn and disinclined to serve. O God, my Father, you are often closest to me when I am farthest from you, and you are near at hand even when I feel that you have abandoned me. Mercifully grant that the defeat of my self-centeredness may be the triumph of me in your eternal purpose. May I grow more sure of your reality and power. May I reach a clearer picture of the meaning of my life on earth. May I strengthen my hold on eternal life. May I look increasingly to what lies beyond my vision. May my desires become less unruly and my thoughts more pure. May my love for other people grow deeper and more tender, and may I be more willing to take their burdens upon myself. To your care, O God, I commend my soul and the souls of all whom I love and love me. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.